Church, let's turn our Bibles in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. As we continue in our mini series on the great expectation. And this week we are looking at the offspring of a woman. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read the whole chapter for the sake of getting the context. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and the flamed sword that turned everywhere to guard the way to the tree of life." This is the word of God. Let's close our eyes and pray. Almighty Lord, O Savior, we are really dependent upon you, O Lord. We say like Moses, be with us, O Lord. Have your presence with us. May we not move from this place, O Lord, unless you are with us. May you show yourself to us, O Lord. May you make us people who are distinct from all the peoples of the earth. How will the people know that you are with us, O Lord, if you are not walking with us? O Lord, may you work. O Lord, may you use this preaching of your word, O Lord, to reveal yourself to your people. In this place of Olivet where we are, where many people are gathered in tents like we are gathered today, where many people, O Lord, think that they are right with you when they are not right with you, would you separate us, O Lord? Would your word separate us? Would you indeed, O Lord, be with us and show your presence amongst us? Work, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren, I want us to continue to look at the incarnation, the taking on of flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how his first coming was mentioned in the Old Testament hundreds of years before it happened. And I want us to see that Jesus is really the one who was expected to come as we read in the Old Testament. And I want us to see that his coming was not a coincidence, but it was according to the purpose of God. That his coming was because of a well thought out plan of God himself. That Jesus is proof that God cares for his people. That the coming of Jesus is proof that God loves the world. So that we can see that God desires only the best for this world and the people. And I want us to see that God is concerned about the sinfulness of this world. And through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he aims to deal with sin once and for all. And also to see that our enemy Satan, the devil, is a defeated enemy. And that Jesus, through his coming, he has trampled upon him and turned him into a shame. That we need to remember today, that of all the things we need to remember, that at the end of all things, Christ wins. So in our text this morning, we find ourselves in the early stages of the history of the world. God had created the heavens and the earth, and all the things that God had created were good. He had also created the animals and all living creatures, and all was good. He had also created this human called Adam, and he was good. And at this point of creation, he was pure in thought and deed. That Adam was pleasing to God in each and every way. That no sin was found in Adam at this point of creation. And we read as well that he had perfect communion with God. That God will come and visit him in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. That you will speak to God in the cool of the day and enjoy His presence. That nothing separated Adam from God. That they were united and being one in heart and fellowship. And the same was true with this woman that God created called Eve. She was also sinless, she was perfect in deeds and thought. There was no sin to be found on earth. All the things that God had created were good. All of God's creation was perfect in every way. And there was no enmity between God and people. There was no conflict between God and His people. But we read here in Genesis 3 that sin entered into the world. Things started to change. In verse 1, we read how Satan, this one who was the father of lies, possessed the body of a snake. How he presented himself to Eve as this serpent. We read of how he was crafty, how he was sneaky, how he had the ability to deceive people, to lie to people. And in verse 1 to 5, we read of how he twisted the word of God. And that in his craftiness, he made Eve to doubt the word of God. And we read of how Eve, in her weakness, ignored the instructions of God, or in a way forgot what God had said to her. So Eve here ignored the word of God and instead believed the word of Satan. Man forgot about God and gave her attention to another. And therefore, a person sinned against God. God had told Adam and Eve not to eat in a specific tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. But Eve was deceived by the devil and she ate of that tree. And in verse 6, we see that not only did she eat, but she convinced her husband to also eat from the same tree. And the results we see are catastrophic. And we are told that as soon as they obeyed God, they disobeyed God and ate, that their eyes were opened. They realized that they were naked. For the first time, man came to face with sin. A man whom God created as sinless was for the first time found with sin in his heart. A woman that God created as pure and righteous in every way was for the first time found as filthy and sinful. The earth that God created as good was for the first time contaminated with sin. So the eyes then of Adam and Eve were open and they saw their nakedness. And the history of the world changed from that point onwards. The world ceased to be innocent and pure in the sight of God, and rather it became unbearable to Him. The same God who will speak to Adam as man speaks to man, He will no longer do that. The God who will descend to this garden in the cool of the day and dwell with men will no longer dwell with men. The same God who will speak to Adam now finds Adam hiding himself from him. The same Garden of Eden, which was a display of the glory of God, was now full of sin. The same place which was shining with the glory of God could no longer be inhabited by men. So man had to leave the place that God had created for him to live in. People stopped enjoying the full goodness of God in this world. Instead of eating freely in these trees of the Garden of Eden, man found himself having to work so that he can eat. Instead of man spending his afternoons basking in the glory of God, enjoying the glory of God, he now spends his afternoon sweating because of work. The same man whose face was shining with the glory of God, his face was now shining with his own sweat. The same woman who used to get the full attention of her husband now had to deal with her husband who come home tired because of her hard work. And we see the same change even in the animal kingdom. The same animal that Adam used to give names to, now they were the same animal that wanted to kill him. The same animal that he spent time with, they were now his enemies. The same snake that Eve was close to, now the same snake wanted to bruise her heel. The world which was peaceful now was full of hatred. And to make matters worse, this was nothing because there was a bigger enemy that they were faced with. Adam and Eve found themselves having an enemy called death. Adam and Eve, who were created to enjoy God forever and to never taste death and pain, but now because of their sin, death entered into the world. They not only had to worry about this serpent who had deceived them, but now they had an enemy that they cannot avoid regardless of what they do. They had an enemy called death. Death was knocking in their hearts. And they knew that at some point or another they will have to open. They had enjoyed so much of life, but now they had to contemplate that one day they will die and leave this world. They knew that there was a valley of the shadow of death that was waiting for them, that they used to enjoy this river of life that flows in the middle of the Garden of Eden. But they will no longer enjoy this river. Instead, they will have a valley of the shadow of death to worry about. And then we read that God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. that they were never to enjoy the full blessings of God in this world. That they will now live their lives in regret over the one sin that they had committed.
And because
of that one sin, they lost their right to eat of the fruits of the trees in the Garden of Eden. They lost the right to drink of the waters of the river of life that flows in the Garden of Eden. That they lost the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. That they lost the perfect love between a husband and a wife which they enjoyed in the Garden of
Eden.
But of all the things that they had lost, brethren, there is something bigger that they had lost. They had lost eternal life in the presence of God. They were created to be living beings who will live forever in the presence of God. And because of their sin, they lost this eternal life. They had lost that purity from sin, that righteousness which they were born with, that holiness without which no man shall see God. And because of this, they had lost everything. The situation was bad. Their lives were shattered. There was so much for them to despair about. That their enemy, the devil, was rejoicing over their downfall. All of creation was mourning because of them. All of the animal kingdoms were suffering because of them. Their descendants were now to be subject to death and sin because of them. The world turned into a bad place because of them. Their lives were shattered. But brethren, is there hope even in this story that we're reading about? Even in this time of history, is there hope for Adam and Eve? Would Adam and Eve be redeemed by God? Is there something that could be done to reverse all this bad that had happened? Does God still care enough about Adam and Eve to redeem them? Does God have a plan to reverse all these bad things that had happened? Praise to God because there is hope. Praise to God because there is a plan. Praise to God because He did not leave this world without a solution. Praise to God because this offspring will make amends for the sins of Adam and Eve. Praise to God because this offspring, unlike Adam and Eve, will obey the law of God. And we should praise God because indeed this offspring has indeed come. And we need to praise God because this offspring has restored all things. That this offspring has come and has redeemed not only Adam and Eve, but their offspring as well. And we need to praise God because this offspring has indeed come and has crushed the head of the serpent. And we need to praise God even more because this offspring will come again and restore all things fully. So our hearts should be full of praise to God of heaven. So brethren, in the midst of God's disappointment and judgment against the sin of Adam and Eve, God himself provides the solution. Yes, all these bad things happened because of Adam and Eve's sin, but something good was to happen to reverse all these things. And we see God providing a solution in verse 15 of our text. In verse 15, God gives judgment to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So in the midst of the sin of Adam, God provides the solution. He says there will be an offspring of Eve who shall bruise the head of the serpent. That this offspring will make everything right. That this offspring will make amends for Adam and Eve. That this offspring will fix the mess that Adam and Eve had created. That this offspring is given to Adam and Eve as their hope. This offspring is given to them as their encouragement. This offspring is given to them as their redeemer, the one who will rescue them. This offspring is given to them as proof that God does not hold their sin against them, because this offspring will make that sin right. That this offspring is giving us proof that once again men will obey the law of God fully. That there will be a seed of this woman who will not be deceived by the devil. That the God of heaven will once again have full pleasure in a person who comes out of the lineage of Eve. And most importantly, that through this offspring, the sins of Adam and Eve will be washed away. That the sin that have done would not be held against them. Brethren, these were wonderful words in the ears of Adam and Eve. And here we see a covenant of grace being entered into between God and man. We see this offspring being commissioned by God to accomplish the work of crushing the head of the serpent. We find here God making a covenant with his people and commissioning this offspring to fulfill, to execute this covenant. Who is this offspring? Who is this that has been commissioned by God to restore all things? Who is this that has been commissioned by God to crush the head of the serpent? Who is this that is better than Adam and Eve? Who is this that is able to obey the law of God fully? Who is this that is able to bring peace between God and man? Who is this that is able to be a gateway for man to God? Who is this that knows the way to the Garden of Eden where God dwells with man? Who is this that is able to cover the nakedness that is caused by sin? Who is this that is able to cover the sins of the world? His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Wonderful Counselor. His name is Mighty God, Everlasting Father. His name is the Prince of Peace. He is the seed of a woman. He is who was to be born perfect before the sin of Adam. He is the one who was conceived through the Holy Spirit in the womb of a woman who was a virgin. He is the one who proclaimed and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor." He is the one who lived a holy and righteous life before all men and before God. He is the one who resisted all temptations of that serpent, the devil. He is the one who obeyed the law of God fully. He is the one whom God from heaven proclaimed that this is my son in whom I am well pleased. This Jesus is the one who died on the cross for the sins of Adam and Eve. This Jesus is the one who purchased the redemption of Adam and Eve. This Jesus is the one who has defeated death. This Jesus is the one who was raised from the dead, never to die again, making a fool of death. This Jesus is the one who defeated Satan, that serpent, that enemy of ours. And he made him a spectacle, a shame for the world to laugh at. He's the one who is the offspring of the woman. So, brethren, just as Adam was the representative of all people, Christ is the representative of all people who will believe in the Father. And because Adam was the representative of all people, his sin was credited to the people. His sin was transmitted to the people through birth. Because of Adam, sin and death entered into the world. But here is this offspring who is also the representative of those who will believe in the Father. And because of him, because of his righteousness, people are able to inherit his righteousness. Because of his life of holiness before the Father, people are now able to be seen as holy in the presence of the Father. Unlike Adam, who gave us death, this offspring gives us eternal life. And as he is our representative, he is the one that what he does gets accounted to us, then we are able to have this eternal life. So brethren, having identified who this offspring is, I want us to look at four things that this offspring was sent to accomplish. I want us to see four tasks that this offspring had been given by God in his mission to crush the head of the serpent. The list is long, but I just want to only look at these four specific ones. Number one, that this offspring will be the embodiment of the truth. As sin came through deception, when Satan twisted the word of God and deceived Eve, as a result, it is proper then that this offspring should be the advocate of the truth. Since people were lied to by the serpent and made to obey disobey the law of God, it is right then that this offspring should promote the truth of God and lead people to righteousness. Unlike the serpent who twisted the word of God, this offspring is the one who teaches the word of God. Unlike the serpent whose mouth was only full of lies, but the mouth of this offspring is full of the truth of God. Unlike Satan, who was found without any truth in him, this offspring is himself the truth. He is not only the advocate of the truth, but he is truth himself. He says in John 14:16, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this offspring's mission was to make known the truth of God to the people and to lead his people to God the Father. His aim was to make God known to people so that people may walk in the ways of God. His mission was to reveal the will of God to the people. His aim was to bear witness to the truth of God. And he says so in John 18:37. He says, for this purpose I was born, and this purpose I have come into the world. To bear witness to the truth. And then he says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So this offspring was born to testify to the truth of God. He was born to reverse, as it were, this legacy of lies, of deception that was started by the serpent. And he says, all who love the truth will listen to me. This offspring mission is not only for the people to know the will of God, but also to know God himself. To know God himself. You must understand, brethren, that the reason why the devil lied to Eve was to separate her from God. But this offspring's mission is to bring people back to God. He came that we know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ himself whom he had sent. Number two, we see that this offspring is the giver of life. This offspring came to give us life. Because of sin, death entered into the world. Because of sin, a person could no longer live forever on this world. But this offspring came to get rid of both sin and death. And we read that in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Let's turn there quickly.
Romans chapter 5 verse 12.
He says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sins. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. So here, brethren, we see that even though death is painful, even though death is a tragedy, but through this offspring of a woman, Jesus Christ, the grace of God abounds to us. That regardless of the presence of death, there is this grace that has abounded for us. That we are no longer held captive by the fear of death. That the sting of death does no longer pierce us. Instead, we have victory over death. Because this offspring had victory over death. He has it. Because this offspring has given us victory from sin, and we can say with confidence, oh death, where is your victory? We are able to now say, oh death, where is your sting? And we are able to sing that the sting that gives power to death was sin, and this offspring has defeated sin. So then we see that this offspring does not only defeat death, but he also gives us eternal life. After all, he's the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one that Peter said to him, oh Lord, to whom shall we go? Because you have the ways of eternal life. Unlike the serpent who was the murderer from the beginning, but this offspring is the one who gives us life. He says in John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy.
I came that
they may have life and have it abundantly.
So this
thief, the devil, he lied and stole what belonged to Adam and
Eve. But
this offspring came and gave us life abundantly.
And
one day we shall be with Adam and Eve and rejoice in the presence of God the Father
forevermore. Because
of the work that has been done by this offspring who is the giver of
life.
So the first thing we see here is that this offspring will clothe the nakedness of Adam and Eve. In verse 21 of our text in Genesis, we see Adam and Eve being aware of their nakedness. They did not become naked because of their sin. They were always naked even from creation. But sin exposed their nakedness and brought forth their shame.
And
because of that, they tried to make themselves a clothing in the fig tree, in the leaves of a fig
tree.
So they tried to use these leaves to cover their nakedness and
their shame.
And we see God making for them clothing of skin, of an animal skin, to hide the nakedness.
And we see
that an animal had to be killed so that its skin could be used to make clothing for them.
And here we see
the evidence of the very first sacrifice that has ever been done. We see the evidence of the very first killing of a living being, and that happened because of sin and the need to cover the nakedness of Adam and
Eve. And
this brethren was a picture of what this offspring will accomplish. This offspring was to die to make permanent clothing for not only Adam and Eve, but also for our own nakedness. As he was dying on that cross in Calvary, he was taking away our nakedness caused by sin. As he was dying on that cross, he was preparing for us a garment of righteousness that so that our shame may be taken away. And we see this offspring speaking to us in the book of Revelation chapter
3.
In verse
18,
he says, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire. So that you may be rich. And white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. So he says, come to me so that I may cover the nakedness caused by sin. So brethren, this offspring covers our shame. Because of him, we do not have to walk in the shame of our sins. Because he clothes us with his righteousness. And all we need to do is take his righteousness and wear it over ourselves. So lastly, we see that this offspring will restore the goodness of God's creation. In his second coming, this offspring will restore the creation of God. Never again will creation groan because of sin. Never again will the ground be cursed because of us. Never again will there be a need for painful toil for men to eat. Never again will men have to eat the plant of the field where there is thorns and thistles growing. Never again will man have to sweat before he could eat his bread. And never again will a woman have to go through the pain of childbirth. We long for this offspring to come again. We long for him to rescue us from this sin that still remains in our bodies. We long to be restored to the glory that we had in the Garden of Eden. We long to be restored to the fellowship that we had with God in that Garden of Eden. And praise God, because this offspring will accomplish that God has purpose for him. Praise God, because all these things will be restored just as they were in the Garden of Eden.
May
the name of the Lord be praised for this offspring. So, brethren, just in closing, this offspring, our Lord Jesus Christ, has crushed the head of the serpent. We read that he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame. He has triumphed over them. The fact that we are here is proof that this offspring has won the war. The fact that sin does no longer rule our lives is proof that this offspring has come and accomplished what he set out to do. The fact that God dwells in us is proof that this offspring has reunited us back with God. The fact that we are not discouraged even in the midst of this world so full of chaos is proof that this offspring has accomplished the purpose of God. The fact that we have hope even in the presence of death is proof that he has defeated death. The fact that we look forward to that day when he will take us back to the Father, to that Garden of Eden, is proof that he has accomplished. And we see that this covenant of grace that God entered with us has been fulfilled. that this offspring, the Lord Jesus Christ, has executed this covenant of grace. That the Spirit of God has applied this covenant of grace in our lives. So now we look forward to the second coming of this offspring. When he will bring into full completion the work that he has started. We know that he has crushed the head of the serpent, but the serpent is still around. We know that he has defeated sin, but sin is still around. We know that he has defeated death, but we still die. But we are looking forward to that day when he will come again. When he will bring his kingdom in its full. So brethren, may this offspring be worshipped then. May his name be glorified above all other names. May all the inhabitants of the earth bow before him and give him glory. May all who are slaves to sin seek his face. May all who are scared because of the things that are happening in this world find refuge in him. May the church of God continue to trust in this offspring. So you do not have to cover the shame of your sins with leaves of the fig tree. You do not have to hide yourself so others will not see your shameful sins. You do not have to blame others for your sins. You simply have to believe in this offspring, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will clothe you with his righteousness. May the Lord bless you. Let's close our eyes and pray. Oh Lord, we hope in you, oh Lord. You are our hope, you are our refuge, the one that we lean in, the one, oh Lord, even in these days of sin, even when there is so much discouragement in the world. People are looking everywhere, O Lord, not knowing where to go for hope, not knowing where to go, O Lord, that they may find peace. But we know that our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the offspring who was to come. He is, O Lord, who was sent to reverse all the chaos that we have in this world. He is the one that we can trust in even this morning. He is the one, O Lord, that we can call all people to come to him, to behold him who hanged on the tree, to make it loving for us, to cover our shame, to cover our sins. Lord, we thank you that things will not get worse because our Savior is here. Our Savior has triumphed, our Savior has won, has defeated the enemy. That even if we are one day to go to that grave, that we will go there, O Lord, rejoicing. That he will call us, out, O Lord, with the call of a loud trumpet, that we shall be with you forever and ever. May you be glorified, may you be honored. In Jesus' name, Amen.